Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Let's talk about this poll that has to do how Canadians feel about whether or not there should be an election during a pandemic. It's pretty tight, with 53%, looking at the Globe and News story, 53% want an election, and 54% aren't sure, because it's a pandemic, and 57% believe it would be unfair. Can you just put context to all of that for us?
Yeah, well, clearly Canadians are split almost nearly down the middle about whether or not an election is necessary. You know, the Prime Minister has received pretty good approval ratings on the rollout of the vaccine, for example. But Canadians may be less sure about whether the Prime Minister has a clear mandate sort of moving forward on the path to recovery. I think this budget tomorrow will help inform Canadians' opinions about whether or not the Prime Minister has a clear plan. But others are saying that maybe it's unfair. If people are not going to feel safe going to the ballot box, going to the polls to cast their ballot, then maybe now is not the best time, because some people may, in fact, be excluded from participating in the democratic process.
But there's a political divide, isn't there, here, with the Liberals' support is not favoring an election, but significant percentage of Conservative voters saying, let's go.
Oh, very much so. This is driven politically. Conservatives say, giddy up, let's go, because they want an opportunity to try to defeat the Liberal government under Justin Trudeau. They are most comfortable with having an election during a pandemic. They're most comfortable saying that they will show up and actually vote in person at the polls. So they have few reservations. Liberals, on the other hand, are saying, well, no, now is not the right time. You know, it's a pandemic. We need to keep safety in mind. They also happen to be in government. And so
I know that has nothing to do with it, John.
No risk to them, right? So, what it also suggests is that there could be a little bit of political backlash against the Prime Minister from his own party members or voters, supporters, if he is seen too aggressively to be sending us towards the path of an inevitable election through a poison pill, for example, in the budget.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. People don't often think about this, but sometimes your own caucus, your own party, can be more troublesome to you than the opposition.
Yeah, that's right. At the end of the day, there are Liberals who were elected with thin margins in the last election. They've only been around, some of them, for 2 years, and they're saying, you know, if I can keep my seat for longer risk-free, then why would we instigate an election during a pandemic? I mean, I can't think of a sort of worse contextual situation than the place in which we find ourselves today to be holding an election. Yes, it worked in British Columbia. Yes, it's worked in other places, but there's no guarantee. Even though the Prime Minister, in our poll released last week, his party is ahead of the Conservatives by 10 points. I mean, that's majority territory for sure. It's the pandemic is still a wild card. You know, there are still vaccine shortages. We're still lagging the United States of America and 70 or something like that other countries. It is risky, despite the vote buffer that the Prime Minister seems to be enjoying at present.
Yeah, when the numbers on vaccines are low, and you find out and you hear the numbers, you compare the numbers nation to nation, population percentage to population percentage, and when we now have a greater population percentage coming down with an infection than the United States, that's not good for the incumbent. That really helps the opposition forward. But let's look at the major issues. You also at Ipsos polled what the major issues are for the next election. COVID's number one at 38%. I thought it would have been higher.
Yeah, but for a lot of people, namely Conservative voters, this is if COVID is there, but it's not necessarily the underlying reason driving their vote. For conservative voters, they're looking at the economy, for example. They're looking at taxation. Many are looking at issues of affordability. So, for Liberal voters, NDP voters as well, Bloc voters, COVID is number one. But, Tory voters are saying we can't just focus all of our time, energy, and money on COVID. We need to look at some other things as well. Now, I don't know how well that position is going to resonate during election time, but voters are saying we need to look at other things as well.
So healthcare is the next one, and healthcare is always high up when it comes to election time. And these are national numbers, if I have this correctly, 38%, or is it 28%? What is it? What's healthcare?
Yeah, it's close to 3 in 10. So Canadians were presented with a list of about 20 different issues. They could choose the top three. So, the fact that even for a majority of people, many of these issues did not resonate within their top three means that there's no, aside from COVID-19, there's no silver bullet, no one issue that, aside from the pandemic, Canadians are focused on. That said, we typically don't see issues like affordability as high as it is today, particularly when it comes to housing. We know that housing prices have been top of mind. Another interesting thing about this top list is that climate change, which was, I think it rose to number two in the last election, is now down to number six. And Tory voters, it's not a big driver for them. So, of course, Erin O'Toole came out with this, plan or scheme or whatever, loyalty program, whatever you want to call it, because he's trying to woo voters from other parties, not necessarily because he's trying to rally the base of Tories, for whom climate change just doesn't seem to be a
well, if you're a conservative, it's a plan. And if you're a liberal, it's a scheme.
Yeah, I guess so. It's the devil's in the details there, and I was trying to read up about it, and I was starting to get lost a little bit. So there is I think there's going to be a challenge of simplicity there for Erin O'Toole to try to articulate what the plan/scheme is to Canadians, and whether or not it has enough credibility to woo soft Liberal voters over it. That remains to
be seen. Well, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and call it a plan. It deserves investigation as we head toward a federal election. But we look at housing, i.e., and looking at your numbers here, housing, i.e., affordability and availability, taxes, climate change, they're all tied at 17%.
Yeah, that's right. And driven by different demographics, those 35 to 54 year olds are always the most squeezed in affordability. They've got kids, they've got aging parents, they've got mortgages, they're paying the most taxes. So that really resonates for them. Climate change, obviously a more progressive issue, really important for NDP voters, for Green Party voters, and certainly for Liberal voters as well. And housing really resonating with younger voters, right? Those people for whom,
of course,
it's saving up for a down payment for a home, and they simply cannot save as quickly as housing prices are going up, and everything else seems to be rising. Renovations, food, gas prices are higher than where they were last year. So a lot of people are just feeling the squeeze, not to mention many people are have been underemployed in the last year and making less. So things seem to be getting further, out of reach for a lot of Canadians.
So I'm looking at some others here that normally, or in past elections, were real drivers. The energy issue, including pipelines and gas prices, 6%, only at 6%. The armed forces at 2%. Trade, 2%. Relations across provinces, 2%. New technology, 2%. Drug abuse, 2%. Boy, I would have expected, or at any other time, Sean, those issues would have been far higher up in the list.
Yeah, well, we've certainly seen, with the fentanyl crisis in British Columbia in particular, we've seen those, drug abuse numbers higher in terms of what's worrying Canadians. Trade, doesn't seem to be top of mind for people. Foreign relations are almost, seem to be non-existent outside of the whole China issue right now. So Canadians really not focused on those things. They're focused on things closer to the home. They're focused on their health, their safety, and their pocketbooks. And what is most concerning for the Tories right now is that on some of these issues where they traditionally, have led and need to lead in order to win an election, I'm talking about issues of the economy, for example, I'm talking about issues of affordability, they're not, they're a little bit ahead on the economy, They need to be 20 points ahead. They're about 7 points ahead. On affordability, they're lagging the other party. So they just haven't been able to articulate a position that resonates with Canadians yet. And that is underscoring why they are performing so poorly in our polls.
Well, we'll see. Mr. Trudeau certainly has a choo-choo train of baggage following him. And when the election rolls around, that that baggage car or baggage cars will be opened up. I think it's going to be one of the nastiest elections we will have seen in quite some time.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.